Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Bulls on Tap. I am your boy Buzz, and I am joined by my dude Goose, Bull Scripted. We are here after a 110-102 victory. Chicago Bulls beat the Memphis Grizzlies in a hell of a game. And when I say hell of a game, it has taken years off my life to unwind the stress the game caused me. You know what time it is. It's time to hashtag crack 'em and get into this game. Goose, how you feeling, my brother?
I'm stone sober, and I'm lucky to be alive, because I definitely thought I was going to die a couple of times during the game, and we won by 8 points. How the fuck did that happen?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what happened there. I just thank God for Agent Zero, huh?
Sub-Zero. Agent Zero was Gilbert Arenas. We're going to leave that one retired. We're going to stick with Sub-Zero.
Okay, cool. Sub-Zero, okay.
And the future rookie of the year really showed out tonight. Again, you know, the Bulls were kind of on the ropes there. And then Coby White to the rescue. It was – I'm still kind of catching my breath. We're like 5 minutes. They're probably not even doing the post-game show yet. The Grizzlies though?
Well, they started off flat, and the only offense that was coming in was from Zach LaVine. And though Zach did keep us in the game theoretically offensively in the first half, the offense was so stagnant, and it was, I don't know how you felt, but it was a bunch of Zach dribble, 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 and he's going to try to go for it. Because no one else was getting anything going. I mean, if you look at the box score here, you know, Otto Porter Jr. was 1 for 6 with 4 points. You know, Wendell Carter Jr. 2 for 4 for 7 points. Lowry Markkanen 4 for 15 for 9 points. And he was, we saw a lot of preseason Lowry tonight, just settling for that 3-point shot. 10 of his 15 field goal attempts came from behind the 3-point line. There was no other double digit score in this game besides Zach LaVine and Coby White. Those were the only two double-digit scorers tonight. Everybody struggled with their shot mightily tonight, besides those two.
Well, no, and I have to agree with you on what you said about Zach in the first. You could see that he realized his team was struggling, and as much as we want to see the ball movement, it was clear that Zach just had to take over. And he kind of kept us in the game. We were down, was it 13 or 14 at the half?
It was 14, yeah.
And, you know, and then we came out quick. We hit a 9-0 run out the gate coming out of the half. And, you know, there was some life. And then we kind of lost it again. This was such an up-and-down game against a shit team. It's fun now, like we said before we got on the call. Now it's fun because we won. But holy shit, that was...
Well, I mean, I think credit where credit's due here, and I'm sure you're going to agree with me. A guy that you and I were very high on coming out of, what year are we in? We're in 2019, right? So this was the 2018 draft, or 2017, whatever. It was Jaren Jackson Jr., Triple J. We were always high on him. He played a hell of a game, and him and Valanciunas, though Valanciunas only had 10 points, he did have 13 boards, they gave our bigs some fits tonight. And those guys, I think, you know, playing together a little bit more are going to become quite a pretty decent duo. But they were giving us some fits. And, you know, and then who else gave us a couple fits there? Jay Crowder hit a couple threes on us. And one I thought was kind of a dagger three in the fourth quarter. Thank God it didn't turn out to be that way. But, you know,
Jay Crowder is somebody we should trade for before the trade deadline.
Yeah, you're on that boat?
I'm on that boat. We need some wing depth. I'm tired of seeing Ryan Arcidiacono come off the bench.
Brother, I was about to say the same thing as you. When I saw Shaq for a little bit tonight, I got a little bit of a chub. And, you know, I always joke about loving Ryan Arcidiacono. But I don't want him in a lineup with Coby White, Chris Dunn, and Ryan. I don't want that. One, that's just too small. And two, I just I already have my defensive pit bull in there and Chris Dunn. I don't really need Archie Diacono in there, who's really not going to provide me anything. And, you know,
who Chris Dunn quietly had a great game again tonight, too.
He did. He had a great game.
His impact is something that you're not going to see in the box score, and it's kind of cool to see in short stints now where you can actually, like, pinpoint the effectiveness of what he's doing. And to close the game, for the most part, we actually had the full young core. We had Dunn, Kobe, Zach, Lowry, and Wendell on the floor.
And that was awesome to see. That was awesome to see. Chris Dunn, you know, brought a lot of defensive intensity. Him playing on playing against Ja Morant was great. Dunn ended up walking away with 3 steals tonight, 2 blocks. I know in the plus minus he was he broke even on the plus minus, didn't finish in the minus. Thank God it was just a 0. But he did great. You know, I like the way that he played tonight. You know. What I didn't like, I want to get to this real quick too while we're just, you know, talking about this game, is Luke Kornet. I don't not like Luke Kornet, okay? I think he's all right. I think that he's a big that could shoot threes, and that can be very beneficial at times. We both know this. But I don't understand why Boylan thought it would be a good idea to try to get him on Jonas Valanciunas at one point, and then when he was over on JJJ, I was like, this is not great, Bob. Like, this is, I don't like that. You know, and he got bullied a little bit in there. Did get a sweet block on Valanciunas at one point in the game. But other than that, if his shot's not falling, I think we said this on the last episode. If his shot's not falling, he's really not providing you anything.
No. I'm hoping Jaren Jackson Jr. ended Kornet's playing time for the foreseeable future. When you have two bigs like that out there, you need to put Daniel Gafford in the game. We were getting our ass kicked on the board at times. We were getting killed down low. You have this big, able, energetic body that's nothing but a positive, and he doesn't take bad shots and waste possessions. He's just going to do all the dirty work. Put that man out there. Sit Kornet's ass on the bench. I was going to lose it because I felt like Kornet lost us the last game more than anything. If he was about to cost us 2 Ws, I was going to have to cry.
Yeah, dude, like I told you, that before, that stress feeling in, like, in your heart, you know, like right near your heart. And I felt like my chest getting tight, and I'm like, wow. You know, I always knew I would go out watching a Chicago sports team. Didn't know which one it would be, but it's fitting that it would be.
Didn't know it would be game 2 of the Bulls' first non-rebuilding season in 3 years.
Yeah, I didn't think that my chest would get tight, dude. I had to, like, walk away for a minute, you know. I was like, oh, God, I walked into the kitchen, I drank a couple Miller Lights, and then I walked back in, and I was like, okay, you know, we're all right, we got this, you know, and finally calmed myself down a little bit. But another thing I want to bring up is Bulls took care of the ball real great tonight. They only had 13 turnovers compared to the Grizzlies, 18 turnovers, and the Bulls had 14 steals tonight also. It's so weird. I mean, the Bulls just didn't shoot that great. They shot 43% from the field. They shot absolutely horrible from three-point at 28.6%, but I thought they would be able to make more scoring opportunities off of the steals that they were able to collect off the 18 Memphis turnovers, but they just weren't able to do it tonight. And I just don't know if that's because everybody wasn't on the same page, because it really was a Zach and Kobe show. When those two were on the floor together, and when Kobe really started leading us back when he came in the tail end of the third quarter, and then he was in the whole fourth, that's when the Bulls really took it and ran away. I just really wish they would play better transition basketball. I wanted to ask you about that. I mean, it just seems like they were slowing down after every steal they got.
See, I didn't really feel like they were slowing down. I felt a lot of the times they were taking really quick shots, and then they were having to run in transition and kind of getting caught off guard and kind of giving up a bucket on the other end. So I get the concept of, the more shots you take, the more chances you have to make them. But when those shots are giving the other team easy buckets, it's not really productive. I didn't really notice them being too slow in transition tonight, personally. But like I said, I felt like they were pretty gassed just from having to run the other way from a lot of the quick shots that they were failing to hit.
I could say, I guess I could have said it wrong. I just felt like over dribbling happened, which I just, you know, conclude over to slowing down. You know, I mean, he had some quick shots, but I felt like, you know, a lot of over dribbling happened, waiting for everybody to catch up, trying to get a little bit of a screen set, then trying, you know, then 9 times out of 10 it was Zach trying to attack the rim. But you know, again, thankfully they pull out the dub in that. Taking care of the ball tonight, everybody had the concern about Zach. He only had two turnovers tonight in 33 minutes. I want to read off this final stat line for Zach LaVine. He finished plus 12 in the plus minus. He was 37 points, one block, three steals, four assists, six boards. Went 7 for 10 from the free throw line, 4 for 8 from downtown, and 13 from 23 from the field. That was Zach LaVine's final stat line tonight. Stat sheet stuffer, Goose. That's what the game we were expecting in the first game of the year. But we got it tonight, obviously, and I'll take it because it was a dub.
Well, and hopefully game three, him and Lowry are both on the same page, because the first game it looked like Zach had food poisoning or took some magic mushrooms or something. And tonight it was a little bit of the same from Lowry. It's like they switched, and whoever prepped the meals this week gave Lowry the bad dish this tonight, and it was not fun to watch. Like, usually when Lowry shoots a three, I get excited. And
you were getting the anxiety just feeling, weren't you?
Yes. tonight it was the complete opposite. He'd shoot the three, and I would be like, oh, not again. And then he made one, and I was like, all right, maybe he's going to find it. He hit that midi. He's got the long range down. Maybe he'll hit the next one, and then wide open brick. And I'm just like, what is going on, man?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I want to kind of get into his game. I know we're all over the place, but, I mean, God, that game was all over the place. But I want to get into Lowry's game. Why do you think he was so different from the first game? Do you think that was a game plan coming in tonight? Or do you just feel like that really no one came to play besides Zach and Kobe, really, on the offensive side of the ball?
I mean, I think the game plan was to get Zach going early. You saw Zach attacking right away. He wasn't going to have another bad game.
Right.
And it's not like Lowry wasn't getting shot attempts early. He was, and he was missing all of them. And that led to Zach actually kind of looking Lowry off, which usually would piss me off. But tonight I was like, no, keep dribbling the fucking ball to the hole, because we don't want it back there. So, no, and that's just such a weird feeling for me, because first game was polar opposite.
Well, right, and then that's the thing, is like, I just felt like Lowry wanted to be that spot up shooter tonight instead of doing what made him so effective in 35 points and 17 rebounds, you know, his last game out. You know, I thought that he would try to attack a little bit more. I don't know if he was intimidated by getting into the paint against Jaren Jackson Jr. and Valanciunas. Like, I mean, I don't think that's it. Like, you know, I don't think so, at least, but it was just a tale of two different players, essentially, you know. And hopefully he gets his stroke down, man. I mean, you know, shooters have to shoot themselves out of slumps. I mean, that's just what it is. And I you know, I hated that he kept shooting the ball, but I kind of understood it too, because he's trying to shoot himself out of it. But I'd like to see him get back to what made him so effective in game one of this season, is, you know, attacking the rim. And then if that, you know, three works for you, it works for you, but do what makes you effective. You know, because he, even creating tonight for Lowry, he had 5 turnovers, man. He was a plus 7 in the plus minus, which all came in that fourth quarter for him, as the Bulls took the lead, because he was negative before the fourth quarter started. But he had 9 points, 1 block, 3 assists, 11 rebounds, 2 which were offensive, and then he had 5 turnovers, man.
And there are a lot of really, like, lackadaisical passes.
Right.
Like, telegraphed. The defense could see it coming, and they were just picking him off. And the one he drove baseline got a little too deep, and he probably should have just put up the shot, and he tried to throw it out.
That one pissed me off a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, and it's always easy to say, oh, you should have just put up the fucking shot after he throws the ball away. But it was just a sluggish game. He looked like he went out for the first time drinking last night, and he never experienced a hangover before, and that's what happened.
He went and cracked a few, huh?
He went and cracked a few, and just didn't bounce back quick enough.
Oh, could you imagine, man? Like, going out the night before, getting lit. I mean, obviously we can't imagine. We have day jobs, and we would get lit and go to our day job and feel like crap. But can you imagine running back and forth on a court after that? I don't know how the hell MJ did
I was just gonna say,
it.
I know one guy who was pretty good at it.
No shit, right? But I mean, yeah. Hopefully Lowry gets back in tomorrow night because I mean, into a good flow, and we do just like you mentioned previously that we do get a good Zach and Lowry game in the starting lineup, together, and they're both effective at the same time because that would just be cool and tough. That's what we need is those guys to be effective tomorrow night in at the home opener. Another thing I want to touch on real quick for this game is Tomas Satoransky. Hit a couple clutch free throws for us there in the fourth quarter. But again, just kind of a lackluster performance. He was a plus eight in the plus minus. He did have four steals, two assists, three rebounds, 9 points, but 2 for 7 from the floor, 0 for 2 from the 3-point line. It just seems like he's struggling a little bit finding his footing in this offense. But I mean, I don't really want to take it as a huge thing here and, and harp on it too much because everybody really did struggle tonight. But
You know what? I got a new name for Sato.
uh-oh.
He is the silent assassin.
The
All
silent.
right?
Okay.
Because this man had four steals and I didn't even see more than. All right?
And
So
you're
that
stone
happened.
sober, right?
And this is not the first time this has happened. He did it in preseason. I think he had five or six steals and I probably only remembered like two of them. So. As much as I fully agree with you that this was another somewhat non-existent performance from him kind of fading into the background and pretty much just being 6'7" Archie Diacono, is all right. Like, you don't want him trying to do too much. When you get the great games out of him, awesome, but he is always going to be a positive and. Like I just dubbed him. He's a silent assassin.
I will
Four
say
steals, that's four extra possessions.
my favorite part out of him tonight. Did you see that offensive rebound putback that he got in the third?
Yes.
That was nice. That was nice. And that was like the most memorable part of the game for me because when I just looked at the box score and saw that he had four steals, I can't believe I missed all fucking four of them. So, like, I was like, "Oh, really?" I'm like, "All right. That's just great." Thad Young with a pretty decent game. I mean, mediocre to say the least. He did hit a three. He attempted four of them. He hit one. He went 3 for 7 from the field with 7 points. Was a plus six in the plus minus. Kobe White, man. I know we touched on it a little bit. We went through Zach's stat line. Let's go through Kobe's. 25 points, plus 15 in the plus minus. No turnovers for Kobe White. None. He had
Just straight buckets.
Straight buckets. No steals. No blocks. Two assists. Everybody's gonna overreact and say he doesn't pass enough now.
I don't even tell me that.
Well, you
That
know it's gonna
behind the back
happen.
pass.
Oh, that
Ooh.
was all the one to Dunn under the rim.
Oh
Beautiful,
yeah.
beautiful.
That was pretty.
His second assist came on that Lowry Markkanen dunk as the game was ending there.
Shh. I don't want to hear it. Then they'll just say that he only had one assist and that one didn't. Just leave that out. Cut the tape. Cut the tape.
I'll cut that out of the recording. He went 10 for 16 from the field, bro, and 4 for 8 from downtown, 1 for 2 from the charity stripe. Kobe White, basically, I got us back in this game so him and Zach could win us this game. And
Oh no, he's ice cold.
it was
Ice cold.
unbelievable watching him operate tonight. And I'll tell you something right now. Out of UNC, I said this. Out of North Carolina, I wasn't the biggest Kobe White guy because I'm not. I was, like, oh man, I don't know. I was like, I'm not really sure because he plays in the system that he plays in, and watching him in summer league, watching him in the preseason a little bit there, and then being at that practice that me and you got to attend, which was just awesome. And then these first two games of the season, this he's the real deal, Holyfield, man.
No, yeah. I mean, I contradicted myself a lot on the Kobe White situation because I spotted him early. I was like, all right, Bulls got to trade somebody, get a late first, steal this guy in the back end of the draft, or the first round, rather. And then, we're looking at him at seventh, and I'm just like, oh, man, I don't know. I was obsessed with Garland, and I'm pleasantly wrong again. Like, hey, I will take it. Never disliked Kobe, but there is other directions I would want on draft night. And right now, it is looking like the Bulls 7-7-7 is going to be a pretty damn good foundation next to Zach LaVine.
Yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly. I mean, Kobe came out, he made that game exciting, he made that game fun, and he lessened the chest tightness that I had. So that was a good
thing.
Well,
actually, he was having my heart kicking a little more. I was getting excited.
I was finally
calming
down.
Heart attack mode, and then adrenaline hit, and then my heart was just confused.
Well, you know, a thing that I want to bring up, I know that we're, you know, this is a game review and then a preview show, but I want to talk about this real quick. People are already, you know, clamoring for him to be in the starting lineup, and I say no to that. And the reason I say no to that is because I love what this kid brings off our goddamn bench right now.
No, let him do what he's doing good.
That's
like,
what I
don't
mean.
Don't change it up on him.
Yeah.
He's found his groove. Let him stay in his lane. Since we are going to touch on the game tomorrow, I think it's worth noting before the game, Casey Johnson let out that Otto Porter Jr. was going to be on a 24-minute restriction for tonight and might play tomorrow, but that wasn't a guarantee. Him and Thad both only played 21 minutes tonight. So hopefully they're full go tomorrow. And let's get another W.
Absolutely. So we're playing the Toronto Raptors tomorrow. Tip off is at 7 p.m. I was lucky enough, dude. So this game was not in my season ticket package, because you know I have that flex plan. And
Flex on.
The Bulls called me up on Wednesday, man, and they offered me courtside seats to this game tomorrow night. And I declined the courtside seats because I wanted to take my daughter. So they moved us up to the 200 level, but we get to go on the court before the game starts and take a picture with Benny and the team. So I am super excited for tomorrow to go do this, bring my daughter to the game with my wife, and this and get to do that. So hopefully my daughter's first Bulls game will be a dub against the defending NBA champions.
That would be a good way to start off her Bulls career, I'm not going to lie. The Raptors did also play tonight. They lost to Boston 112-106, so they are also going to be coming off a back-to-back, so fair fight.
Yeah, do you see Jaylen Brown and Tatum went off tonight? Played pretty good games, so, you know, for Boston. But Toronto, I mean, you know, Siakam, he is something else. So, I mean, you know, tomorrow, whoever's got the task of guarding him, which is probably going to be Wendell or Lowry.
I don't know, man. I think it would have to be Wendell. You might have to throw Thad out there.
Yeah, he's so versatile.
I think he might be the most equipped for that.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, dude. I mean, you see the stat line from him tonight? It's stupid. He went 11 for 22, 5 for 7 from downtown, 33 points, 8 rebounds, and 2 assists.
And I think he dropped 35 the other night.
Yeah.
He just signed that max deal, so he's coming out hot. He's feeling good.
No shit. And then, you know, you have Kyle Lowry. You know, that's basically the core of the team here, is Siakam and Lowry. Van Fleet is a decent player. Isn't he from around your area?
He is indeed from Rockford. I believe he went to Auburn High School.
That's right. You know,
and he went off in the first game with Siakam. So I definitely consider Freddie part of their core at this point. He did pretty much clutch it up and bring them home a ring next to Kawhi.
Right. So, I mean, you know, we got a tough task tomorrow night, but, you know, hopefully the team can come out and perform well. You know, they got to fly back from Memphis tonight, you know, get to United Center, but I'm sure they'll all be hyped up. First game at the UC.
Maybe we'll play two halves of basketball.
And you go up 1-0 on me. Did you know that?
What do you mean?
You won the switch to click tonight. I did not. I picked Otto Porter Jr. You picked Zach LaVine. So you win.
I win?
Yeah, you win.
What do I win?
Bragging rights.
Shit.
Bragging
what
rights.
What do you get if you lose?
More anxiety in your chest.
Okay. Yeah. I guess I'll take bragging rights.
So we'll take our swish to clicks for tomorrow. I will lead it off. I am going to pick a swish to click of Tomas Satoransky.
Oh. Going with the silent assassin.
I'm
going
to go with the silent
assassin tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm going to
okay.
go with the silent assassin tomorrow. So hopefully while I'm at the game, my wife will be the DD. If I get a little buzzed up, after I get home and we record Bulls on Tap, we could talk about how Sato just dropped a 30 piece.
Well, you know, I think Lowry, like Zach, last game is gonna go drink some more Pedialyte. Gonna go sleep it off. Obviously, Zach had an extra night of rest in between, but Lowry's a little bit younger. It was only his first drink. I think he's gonna come out fresh tomorrow night, and hopefully, we get a dual performance from him and Zach.
That would be fantastic.
Maybe Sato will have like 20 assists.
That'd be cool. That'd be cool. I'm very excited to see, you know, Coby White play. You know, obviously, we got to see him in person already, but in game, you know. In a game, I can't wait to watch him go and see what he could do. I'm very excited to watch that. But if you got anything else, man?
Nah, you and the Fan Bam have a great time tomorrow night. I'm going to be stone sober again because I got work Sunday morning. But, yeah, other than that, let's do it again tomorrow night when you get home.
Hell yeah. So be sure to go on ontapsportsnet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs. Be following me on Twitter at BuzzOnTap, following my dude Goose at BullsScripted, following our show at BullsOnTap, and then if you get a chance, go follow at OnTapSportsNet as well. That's all I got. Let's go, Bulls. We'll be back tomorrow night, hopefully after a home opener done. Deuces.